Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone out. I always enjoy standing up here and looking out over the faces of those who have come because there's usually somebody else that I hadn't seen in between time Bible study and services. So I always enjoy looking out at everyone. If you would be turning to Acts chapter 5, that's where we'll begin our lesson here in just a moment. Acts chapter 5. And this sermon may seem a little unusual, and you may not make sense to you right off the bat, but hopefully it will. In our country right now, we don't face government oppression for how we worship and what we teach. But there may be a time coming when that changes. In fact, you could argue that culturally we do face opposition. There's no doubt that culturally we do face opposition for what we teach, and not what we teach, but what the Bible teaches. But this lesson is not really about going to jail, although hopefully that never happens to us. I've entitled this lesson, and see if my clicker's working this morning, Things to Do in Prison. Things to Do in Prison. I don't know how many of you have been in jail before. I have a couple times. It's a long story. I'll have to tell it to you someday. But let me tell you something. You need something to do in jail. And how the apostles reacted to the situations they were in tell us something, not only about them, not only about Jesus Christ, but about us. Because you may be thinking, well, I've never been in jail. Well, haven't we kind of all been in psychological jail since March? Right? Your favorite restaurant's closed. You can't go in. You're stuck at home with the kids and the dog and the husband. I mean, what's worse than that exactly? You need to be set free. Sometimes we can find ourselves in jail in situations we don't really think about. So, this morning's lesson is things to do in prison. So, if you're thinking, I'm never going to be in prison, that's okay. We can still look and say, what did the apostles do in those situations and what can we learn from them? The first thing that I would tell you that the apostles learned is to not be discouraged. In Acts chapter 5, they're actually arrested twice in the chapter. They're arrested and thrown in jail. Angels free them. They walk outside. They start preaching again. They're rearrested, and here they are. Well, what was their attitude? Imagine for just a moment that in 10 or 15 years, it's illegal to preach against adultery. It's illegal to preach against sexual immorality. It's illegal to preach against those things. And let me tell you, I don't know that it's going to be illegal, but certainly it's going to be problematic, much less homosexuality. Imagine if you were arrested not once in a day, but twice over a night in this case. How would you feel? How would you feel about Christianity? How would you feel about the church? Let me tell you how the apostles felt. They were fired up. It was the best day ever. So what's one of the things we can learn from the apostles? Do not be discouraged. Look at Acts chapter 5. Let's read verses 40 and 42. And again, they've been arrested 2 days in a row. Let's begin to read in verse 40 and see what their attitude was. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now right there, you've been arrested twice. You've been beaten. Is that a good day? Is that how you hoped your day would go today? What was the apostles' attitude toward that? Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Were they threatened into silence? Did they give up? Did they say, well, this whole world is just going to hell in a handbasket. What can I do? No. They had suffered for Christ. They considered that a great thing. Instead of being literally beaten into silence, and that's what verse 40 says that they were trying to do to them, does it say they preached every once in a while? Every day. Every day. So how do we react to the changing world? Should we go into a hole and hide? Or should we be glad that any persecution that we suffer, it puts us in line with Christ? And any persecution that we suffer, instead of silencing us, should embolden us to preach all the more. Jesus is the Christ. God is holy. Sin is sinful. Hell is hot. You don't want to go. Those are the truths of God. And we should be encouraged to preach them, not discouraged. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16 says this. 1 Peter 4 and verse 16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. What was the apostle's attitude to being in heaven? Or excuse me, being in jail. That's a whole other story. What was the apostle's attitude toward being beaten? They thanked God that they had been found worthy to suffer for the name. And so should we. Don't be discouraged. Pray for those in prison. This is Acts chapter 12, and this is actually what Brother Matt read to us is the freeing of Peter. This is how Peter was freed. You may not know anybody in jail right now. You might know somebody in jail right now. You might know of somebody eventually who's put in jail for preaching the truth of God. You may not. But I can tell you what we should do for those who are in jail. We should pray. We should believe in the power of God to change things. Our bulletin this morning is all about prayer. Acts chapter 12, let's read verses 5 through 7. And basically, we're going to keep a thumb in Acts. We're not going to stray too far from the book of Acts at all this morning. Let's read verses 5 through 7. Acts 12, 5 through 7. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. Y'all didn't know there was a rapper in Acts, did you? That was only for those of you who were paying attention. He was bound by two chains. Trying to make sure everybody's awake out there. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. Christians prayed to God that Peter might be freed from prison, and God made it happen. Do we pray in faith today? Do we pray to God believing He really will change things? We need to. Because let me tell you something, there are people who need our prayer. They may be in jail, they may not be in jail. They may be in the kind of jail that comes from a life of sin. Let me tell you something. Once you get involved in sin, the further you go in sin, the further you get away from the Lord, and you can find yourself in your own prison. You can find yourself so tied up in the sinful life that you're in that you can't set yourself free. Pray. Pray for those people. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 36, maybe the closest thing to a scene in the Bible of what will happen when you get to heaven. What are the pearly gates like? What's the question you'll be asked in the final day? What Jesus said was, "I was in prison and you visited me." Hebrews chapter 3, verse 3, I'll read to you briefly. "Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body." What would happen if I went to jail? What would happen if Jack or David, who had taught the high school class this morning, well, what if they said adultery is sinful? What if someone came in the middle of our services and took them out? How would we treat them? Would we treat them as pariahs? Or would we remember them? Would we go to them? Would we pray for them? The answer is clear. We need to pray for those who are in jail, whether it be physically in jail or whether it be in a jail of their own making. Well, the other thing is this. We need to sing and be happy. Do you sing outside of worship services? Do you sing church songs outside of worship services? I hope that you do. My daddy was a good whistler, and he would whistle songs while he worked. I don't know what age I realized he was whistling church songs or not, but I could certainly remember that. We need to be singing people. I see the looks on your faces. You're going, "Well, I don't know. I sing by myself in public? Yes. We need to praise God more. And if we need to praise God in song, then we need to praise God in song. What did the apostles do in prison? That's the name of the lesson. What do you do when you need encouragement? You know, we talk about whistling through a graveyard. I don't know if people say that kind of thing anymore. He's talking about you whistle through the graveyard. You know why? Because a little bit of noise helps comfort you. If you don't whistle through the graveyard, it's real, real quiet. And any acorn that falls out of the tree sounds like a 1,000-pound weight, or perhaps the boogeyman. So you whistle. Well, guess what? When you're troubled and you're in jail and you're an apostle, you know what you do? You sing. Let me tell you something. Singing changes things. Take a look at Acts chapter 16. Paul has actually been thrown in jail here. Paul and Silas have been thrown in jail for a miracle that they did on a girl that was a demon possessed. But the people that were making money off of her got mad and had Paul thrown in jail. So Paul and Silas are in jail. What are they doing? Are they moping? Are they discouraged? Are they afraid? Nope. They're singing. Notice the audience as we read this text. Acts chapter 16, let's read verses 22 through 25. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Now, think about that for just a moment. Put yourself in those shoes. Beaten? Thrown in jail? You know what stocks are? It means they locked your feet in place. They shackled you. What would you do in that moment? What would I do in that moment? Verse 25. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. The prisoners were listening to them. Do you pray in public? Do you sing in public? People notice. People will listen. How many times, if you pray over every meal you do in public, you will eventually have someone come up to you, and what will they say? Thank you. Thank you for doing that. I noticed. I appreciate that. Just like these prisoners with Paul and Silas, people notice when we do things in public that show that we're different. Sing songs. Whistle to yourself. Hum to yourself. I've had standing on the promises going in my brain for 24 hours now. I wish I could go back and listen to my grandfather lead it. He led it terribly. My grandfather, sorry, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. He's the most vulgar man I ever met in my life. I've never heard anybody curse more frequently than my grandfather, Buster Sage. As soon as he was out of earshot of my grandmother, man, here it would go. But he would go to church. And the only song he would lead was Standing on the Promises. And it sounded more like a grunt or a growl than a singing. If you know the song, rawr, 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 rawr. But let me tell you something. I'm 54 years old. You know what I've had running around in my mind all last couple days? By the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises. Sing. Sing. Think about God. Prayer shows I'm thinking about God. Singing Christian songs tells me I'm thinking about God. And it tells my fellow prisoners I'm thinking about God. Don't be discouraged. Pray for those in prison. Sing and be happy. Notice what happened. James chapter 5, just briefly, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself there. James chapter 5 is a text that we're very familiar with in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. It doesn't necessarily mean Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. God is good. Are those things on our lips in public? Read James chapter 5 and ask yourself, should they be? Look at Acts chapter 16 and ask yourself, should they be? I'm not saying do this as an evangelical ploy, although I will tell you it is evangelical to do it. It will help teach others about Christ. It will identify you as someone when times are hard that they can come to with Bible questions. That's something you'll notice, young people, as you get older. When you get into a work environment, if you're letting your light shine, if there ever comes a question about the Bible or what's right or wrong, they'll come to you. They'll come to you. If you thank God sincerely, if you praise God sincerely, your light will shine and they will come to you. They will listen and they will know. Well, we've already talked about this a little bit with Peter and John and those that were in prison in Acts chapter 5, that when they got out, they were preaching day to day. But Paul preached the gospel from prison. An angel comes in this case, an earthquake comes, and the bars are loosed. And Paul and Silas and all these prisoners can walk out of jail. They don't. And because they don't, the Philippian jailer does not kill himself. And because the Philippian jailer does not kill himself, he becomes a Christian. Let's read the rest of the text. Acts chapter 16, we'll begin where we left off there in verse 26 and read through 34. Acts chapter 16, 26 through 34. And suddenly, so this is as Paul and Silas are praying and singing. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Where's here? He's still in jail. Paul is about to preach the gospel before he leaves jail. Now, why am I not doing it? Why am I not telling others about Jesus? Verse 29. The jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. The power of prayer, the power of song, the power of the gospel. I don't know if an angel is ever going to come and free our stocks if we're in jail. I doubt it. Although if God wants it to be so, it will be so. But I will tell you what has not changed. Prayer has not changed. Singing has not changed. And the gospel has not changed. And we can do all of those things no matter what our circumstance. The apostles did these things while they were in jail, in fear for their life, after being beaten, unfairly treated, persecuted for telling the truth. Did they go in a hole? Did they cower? No. They whistled through the graveyard of life, singing Christian songs and praying to a God who will answer. Now do you see where this lesson applies to you and I? I may not be in jail, you may not be in jail, but we're all going through this life. We all suffer minor persecutions. Do we look at it the way Peter and those original apostles did, and we're glad that we've suffered for the name? Do we look and say, we will not be silenced? Paul and Silas said, you know, we're not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with us. And they prayed and they sang and they preached. That jailer didn't have Paul in prison. Paul had that jailer right where he wanted him. You'll be in circumstances in life that you will not like. Bad things will happen. You know, if you're a young person and bad things have never happened to you, I have news for you. They will. They will. Bad things will happen to you in life. But let me tell you, sometimes bad things are an open door. I did the radio show a couple of weeks ago and I asked a question. I want you to seriously ponder this. This is a bonus sermon. I want you to ponder this later this week. Would I give, would I trade the downfall of America for double the number of Christians? Would I trade the downfall of America for double the number of Christians? I know what my answer is. When? Right now? Because I'd take it. Now, you may not feel that way. But let me tell you something. You need to think about it. Here's my point. Sometimes in the worst of times, that's God working for our good. Do you think that Stephen thought, this is great, all these rocks hitting me in the head and taking my life from me. This is awesome. Thank you, Lord. Do you think all those people in Jerusalem that Paul was trying to throw in jail thought, well, this is great. The death of Stephen was the best thing that ever happened to the church, period. The persecutions of Christians in Rome was the best thing that ever happened for the church. Bad things? Undoubtedly. Painful things? Undoubtedly. Fun to get beaten and thrown in jail? Not even kind of. But God may be working in my tough time to do His will. God may be putting me in a position 10, 15, 20, 30 years later to help somebody going through the same situation. What seems like bad times may be God working in our life. It certainly was in Acts chapter 16. By the way, do you know what city this is? Sorry, this is Philippi. Do you know why you know the city of Philippi? Because there's a book of the Bible written to the Philippians. We just read how that church started. With they're having their clothes torn off and beaten and thrown in jail. Bad times? Nope. Great times. Great times. Because God's will was being forwarded. Preach the gospel. Have no fear. Have no fear. Paul is arrested in Jerusalem. He's thrown into jail. He eventually is in jail for over 2 years. He's greeted by Jesus and told that he will survive shipwreck, he will survive beatings, and he will go to Rome. Why? Why did Jesus do this? Why is this account here? Acts chapter 23 and verse 11. Paul has been thrown into jail, and our Bible tells us this. The following night, verse 11 of Acts 23, the following night the Lord stood by him, that's Jesus, and said, take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome. Now you might say, now preacher man, Jesus is never going to come in a vision to me and stand by me at night and tell me anything. Probably true. But Jesus is with us. We talk about it quite a bit when we do the Lord's Supper. Brother Bill Mayo, every time I think that Bill Mayo ever did a Lord's Supper talk, he talked about the fact that Christ was here with us. Christ is with us at all times. Christ's presence, he says to Paul, should give him no fear. Have no fear. What Jesus is saying to Paul is, you're going to go to Rome. You're not going to die before you get to Rome. You can write that down. We're going to heaven. And you can write that down. And we should have no fear. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It's just ironic that I have two references out of Hebrews 13. It's a great place in Scripture. I've got a lesson that's simply called a few verses in Hebrews that begins in chapter 12 and carries through chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 5 and 6 are written to you and I. Okay? This is not in reference to a miraculous appearing of Jesus in a real form, but this is the truth of the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives today. Prayer still around? Singing still around? The gospel still around? Jesus is still around. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? There it is. The same Jesus that appeared to Paul and told him to have no fear is with you and I and tells us the same thing. If you're right with the Lord, what can someone do to you? Kill you? Okay. You kill me, I go to be with the Lord. We need to think of it that way. These apostles thought of it that way. That's why they could be glad that they had been persecuted. That's why they could sing and they could pray. That's why Christians prayed for them. That's why they had no fear. When Paul is about to be in jail for 2.5 years, he's going to be shipwrecked. He's going to be taken to Rome. No fear. Why? The Lord is with me. What can man do to me? Are you a believer in small prayers? I'm a believer in small prayers. That's a great small prayer. The Lord is with me. What can man do to me? Work that into your prayer life on a regular basis. And then, as Jesus said, have no fear. Finally, this morning, the apostles who were in prison were grateful and bold. Grateful and bold. I think this is important. Because a lot of people talk a good game. Right now, we're not really persecuted, but it's possible. Yeah, who knows what's going to happen? But certainly over the last 20 or 30 years, it's certainly become more uncomfortable to talk about adultery or sexual immorality or homosexuality. I think that's admitted by all. Right now, no one's being thrown in jail for it. Right now, this congregation's not being told it can't meet. But it's a possibility that it's coming. It's a lawsuit away. What will we really do in that situation? When we're talking about real jail, and we're talking about real persecution, what will we do? Acts chapter 26 and 2. I love this text. Paul here is finally talking to Agrippa. He's talking to Agrippa, and what does he say? Acts 23 and verse 11. I'm sorry, excuse me. Acts 26 and verse 27. Got to confuse myself there. You know what? Let me start over. Acts 26 and verse 2. It would help if I just looked at the screen, wouldn't it? Acts chapter 26, verse 2. I consider myself fortunate that it is before you, King Agrippa, I'm going to make my defense today against all the accusation of the Jews. Paul has been in jail for 2 years at this point. Jesus has already told him he's going to Rome. He's brought bound before the leader of Palestine, the leader of Judea. How does Paul feel about life? This is great. I get to preach to the most influential person in the region. I consider myself fortunate. If you were in jail, do you think you would ever form that sentence? I'm fortunate to be here. And then he was bold. There's so many times I've heard preachers use this verse in combination with what Felix says about coming back in a more convenient season. Paul went for the kill. Do you know what every preacher does at the end of his sermon? He goes in for the kill. He says, I want you to be a Christian. You're going to go to hell if you're not a Christian. That takes a certain kind of courage. I don't say that because of me. It takes even more courage to be in jail, a prisoner, and talking to the king and to get in his business. He's not making some random call to the gospel and saying, if there's anybody here, come forward. Paul points his finger at the king and says, I know your heart. That's boldness. Verse 27 of Acts chapter 26. Let me back up. This is too good. I'm going to start in verse 24. As he was saying these things, by the way, Paul gets in his sermon to the point where he says that God raised Jesus from the dead. Remember Acts chapter 17? That's the point at which they said, we don't need to hear from you anymore. He does the same thing here. Festus here is the Roman governor. Agrippa is the ruler of Judea. And as he was saying these things in his defense, Festus, that's the Roman ruler, said with a loud voice, Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind. Paul said, I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, and I am speaking true and rational words. Now he's fixing to turn and talk to Agrippa face to face. And Paul's going for the kill. Does he want this heathen, sinful, pagan almost king to become a Christian? Yes, he does. Is he willing to get personal about it? Is he willing to get in his business about it and say something that's going to maybe hurt his feelings? You betcha. Look at what Paul says. Verse 26. For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. You know what he's saying? I'm not crazy, and he knows it. Don't you? This is personal. Personal. You're going to hell if you don't change, and I mean you. He's a prisoner. He's been in jail for 2 years. Fired up, he's here. Bold. He continues. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. That is as personal as it can get. Agrippa says to Paul, in a short time would you persuade me to be a Christian? You know what happens when you get close sometimes? People get defensive. They want to change the subject. They don't want to hear it. Does Paul give up? Does Paul let this little trick work? No, he turns his words right back in on him. Would you make me a Christian right now? Is that you, a prisoner, standing before me, king? You want me to become a Christian? Is this what you're saying to me? Paul says, sure. Let's do it. Verse 29. Paul said, whether short time or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become as I am, except for these chains. No matter what happens in this world, preach the gospel. No matter where you are, sing and pray. No matter what happens, don't be discouraged. Count it a blessing that you can suffer for the name. We may not be behind bars. Lord willing, we won't be beaten and have our clothes stripped off. Lord willing, we won't be in jail and shipped all over the place. By the way, you know what every one of the apostles except for the apostle John, you know what happened to him? You know how they died? Did any of them die peacefully? No. Every one of them died because they were preaching the gospel. Every one of them. But you know what we have today because of that? How many Christians in Acts chapter 1? How many? Jesus works for 3 years. He dies on the cross for him. He's resurrected from the dead. How many followers does Jesus have in Jerusalem? 120. Do you know how it got to be millions upon millions? Because of beatings and imprisonments and martyrdom and the blood of saints who were bold and not discouraged and who sang and prayed and who believed in the power of the gospel and weren't afraid to get personal about it. We want this church to grow. We'll do the same. We want to let our light shine. We'll do the same. Lord willing, none of us will go to jail for our faith in our lifetime. Lord willing, our children will not. But let me tell you something. It might be the best thing that's ever happened to the church. C.S. Lewis once said that he was at Oxford University, and they eliminated the requirement to go to chapel. But before, I forget the date, let's say 1935. Before 1935, every student at Oxford was required to go to chapel. And then they eliminated the requirement. Do you know what happened? Chapel's empty. Half the people are gone. Lewis said something I've never forgotten. He said, that's a good thing because now the shooting can start. You know what he meant by that? Now we know who's on our side. Now we know who need to be the targets for what we're doing. Persecution is not a bad thing. There may be things in our lives that we think of as bad. There may be things that occur in our life that are undeniably bad things, painful things. But in those things, can God be glorified? What would the apostles say? What would the Word of God tell us? Let me tell you this morning, if you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, you need to have faith in Jesus Christ. Because there's no other way to get to heaven. You don't want to meet God and Him ask you what you did with His Son if the answer is not obeyed. If the answer is not had faith. If the answer is not tried to be more like Him every day. The God of heaven sent His Son down to die on the cross for you and for I. And we're going to have to answer to the God of heaven for how we treated Him. Paul said to Agrippa, you know these things are true, and I know that you believe in the prophets. Do you believe in the Word of God? Do you believe Jesus was real? Do you believe that you'll go to hell without Him? We all need a Savior. We're all either saved or unsaved. God chooses to save those who obey His Son. That's it. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as we stand and we sing.